yes, because it's July and I'm basically sweating in my apartment. Another hot edition of Draped in Gold, your one-stop shop across the ring and across the pond. NXT UK. I'm Flobo Boys, but of course, as always, not alone. I'm being joined by the fantastic, the impressive, the spectacular host, producer, content creator, and more. Please welcome the real Jack Farmer. What's
up? You know you're making stuff up when you use words that don't really mean anything. Fantastic Jack Farmer. Oh, I must be impressive.
You're uncanny, bro.
I appreciate it. Always appreciate being here. I am excited to chat all about this week. This week, the theme of both these shows, by the way, was bringing out the best in people. That seemed to be the theme throughout the week, and I'm excited to get into the fact that, like I said, this week's all about bringing out the best in people.
Well, how does someone bring out the best out of you? Is that possible?
I'm always at my best.
I walk right into that one. Okay. Okay. Let's get into NXT UK because a lot of things happened away from the ring, but let's get these matches out of the way. Our main event was for the Heritage
Cup. Out of the way? No, this is a great show. What do you mean? Get it out of the way.
Well, let's get
this amazing show out of the way.
Yeah, no, because there are some things that hit social media I want to discuss about in detail. But you're right, got to give the respect where respect is due. Our main event was for the Heritage Cup championship. No, cup. Duh. But we have a new Heritage Cup winner. It's Mark Coffey going the distance against Noam Dar, and the whole NXT UK locker room were, I have to say, very proud of the win for nefarious reasons. Jack Farmer, we're talking about this offline a bit. Noam Dar's run comes to an end today. Even though it went in spectacular fashion, maybe he was the most Heritage Cup of the Heritage Cup players ever?
This was a screw job from the get-go.
What? Screw job?
This was an absolute screw job from the get-go. Before the match even started, Shaw Samuels was ejected from ringside. That doesn't make sense. He has a manager license. He should be out there at ringside.
But
before the match even starts,
everyone's banned
out from behind there. And let's not even get
into
that.
So is Gallus.
Let's not even get into the fact that Coffey was hitting Noam Dar after the bell rang, after the first round ended. He's still hitting him, but that should have been, by the way, after that happened, let's not even say it should have been a DQ. At the very least, Noam Dar should have been awarded a victory for that round, should have been awarded a point, which means this entire thing should have been done differently. The fact that it wasn't, and then when Noam Dar tried to even the score, they didn't even let him do that. They stopped him. It was a screw job from the beginning because everyone knew that Shaw Samuels gave incredible odds to Coffey, and that means everyone had money on this. I know that ref had money on this. The entire locker room had money on this. It was a screw job just trying to get money. It's sickening when this kind of stuff happens. This kind of stuff is what's destroying boxing. It's what's destroying all sorts of other sports. And I can't believe NXT UK and the Heritage Cup division has been sullied by this in the same way. A screw job to Noam Dar, and it sickens me.
Draped in Gold streaming live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. Well, a couple things there. It's one, I guess you're right. It did seem that everyone had money on the contest, even the commentators. Two, was it Han Solo and Greedo? Because if memory serves, it was Noam Dar that slapped Coffey first before. And the most egregious point you're making is that no one was allowed at ringside. Both teams had extras or other security members for their cutmen because Gallus was banned as well as Shaw Samuel. So what are you arguing about?
So the slap from Noam Dar, I believe that was before the bell rang. And if not, that was still an incidental, you know.
A slap is not incidental.
Momentum
Stop.
Started before it ended.
Slaps are never no incidental.
Possible way, no possible way for him to stop the momentum once the bell rang. Where Coffey, on the other hand, did it completely on purpose, completely knowing he was taking advantage. And the ref let it happen because, again, the ref probably had money on this. Everyone had money on this. Follow the money trail, Flobo. It's clear that this was all rigged. It was all put against Noam Dar, the greatest Heritage Cup champion in the history of the world, by the way. And the fact that this all went down. Now, look, congratulations to Mark Coffey. Congratulations to the new champion. It was a hard-fought win still. He did something incredible. First singles championship. Incredible stuff. I'm happy for him. This is a great thing.
I can't tell. Are you?
Unfortunate it was done in a way that was done because that people were trying to take advantage of a situation. They were trying to take advantage of the odds. They were trying to take advantage of some bets that were placed, which shouldn't be allowed anyways. They shouldn't be allowed to take advantage of this, but they did, and it clearly impacted the way this match was called, the way this match was commentated on, the way the rules were put in place as far as managers on the outside. Shaw Samuels isn't just a competitor. He is a manager. You talk about Gallus. Those guys are wrestlers. That doesn't count.
So what's the Shaw Samuels? Shaw Samuels wrestled last month.
Is a manager.
He wrestled last month.
He's a manager, and he's a bookie who happened to have a match. And it's completely... This whole thing just it to end a historic reign in this way so that people could take money. I hope there's an investigation into this. I hope Sid Scalia says we're going to investigate this. We're going to look into this. There's going to be hearings. There's going to be trials. There's going to be lawyers. There's going to be agents looking into all this.
I really doubt it.
Because this all should be thrown out.
Okay. Clearly. Okay. Assuming if you're right, because you never are, it went the distance. If Noam Dar was as good as he said he was, this shouldn't have gone to round six, correct?
It wouldn't have, because he should have been awarded the point in round one after Coffee took the shot after the bell rang.
Noam took the shot. You know he took the
and
shot.
And then afterwards, is it in a slap, after so it the exists. Champagne super knee bar would have been the second bell. That would have been the second win.
First of all, anyone with an Oasis reference for their finisher move needs to be disqualified. So I'm so glad as a new Heritage Cup champion.
Don't look back at that in anger, Flo.
I will, cuz maybe. Okay, look, I'm just saying we have a new Heritage Cup champion. Joel Coffey came out. Someone we haven't seen in weeks.
Surprise, surprise.
I'm surprised.
Mr. I'm not going to be around until suddenly there's a lot of money and championships coming in. Oh, yeah. Now look who decides to stroll back into your life. It's kind of like when you have someone who steps out of your life and then you become rich and famous. And they're like, hey, remember me from high school? We were good chums. We should hang out again.
Absolutely.
Figure Joe steps away, goes off to do something else, can't be bothered because he hasn't been doing very well in the ring. But then suddenly his bro wins a championship, takes advantage of some gambling, and probably makes a ton of money. Oh, wow, you're a champion? Oh, wow, you're rich now? Wow, maybe we should be friends again. Joe trying to just take advantage, trying to jump on the coattails, trying to be a front runner, trying to be a bandwagon jumper. I'm not surprised. I'm just sickened.
I do all the time. By the way, follow Real Jack Farmer on social media. He's doing good things. And I'm his best friend. Wink. I'm just looking.
Yeah, we're doing all sorts of.
I will totally sell out, bro. Why not? But yeah, we hadn't seen Joe in about 2 months. Do you think he's going to be back? Do you think he will challenge his brother for the Heritage Cup?
Oh, I think he'll be back as long as his brother's doing great. I mean, look, it's funny. He steps away. Can't be bothered. Look, he's not answering phone calls. Uh-huh. He's not reaching out. He's not doing anything to be a part of this. And then suddenly his brother wins a championship. His brother comes into money. Wolfgang has a title shot coming up. And suddenly he's like, hey, fellas, let's all celebrate together.
Well, last point before we move on this one. It looks like Shaw Samuels is going to be out some cash for a long while. If you were Shaw, will you still hang out with Noam Dar? Seeing how they let you down today? Or do you go off in your own direction on a solo tip?
If I'm Shaw Samuels, I get on the phone with a lawyer to start investigating what just happened. And I sue the crap out of NXT UK for clearly, like I said, railroading the champion. In fact, I wouldn't just get my money back, but I would also have this entire match reversed and have the Heritage Cup put back into the arms of Noam Dar so he can retire with it.
That is terrible. That's the worst idea you have is making Kaylee Ray the forever champion for real. That's pretty bad. Championships are made to be won and lost. And I'm telling you, Mark...
She is the forever champion. Last I checked, it's still forever. So
I got to move on. Another championship talks, besides the fact that we still have that Ilya Dragunov Wolfgang match sets for 2 weeks from now. But if those of you guys have been watching the rumor mills, there may be something changing about that. We won't go into that too much to see what NXT does with it. But what I want to talk to you about the NXT United Kingdom Tag Team Championships. Briggs and Jensen are stateside. They're tied up currently with Pretty Deadly, the former champions. But Mark Andrews and Wal Boar, your two favorite guys in the roster, are saying, look, we come back to UK, we want next.
Everything you need to know about Mark Andrews and Wild Boar, you can really see in this promo. And the fact that they say that those two guys are representing NXT UK well. When last I checked, they were day drinking before going to a show to wrestle. So if that's their idea of representing NXT UK well, speaks to a lot about Mark Andrews and Wild Boar.
So you're a fan?
Not at all. Neither of these guys deserve a shot.
What do you mean? They totally beat around Symbiosis, broke them up, really. I mean, that deserves all the title shots.
Well, Symbiosis broke up because they got rid of the brains of the operation. But look, I look around and I see teams like D'Familia, who obviously should be getting a shot first. There's so many teams that deserve a shot before these two guys. These guys, like I said, they think that the idea, the best part of being a champion is day drinking before you go and have a match, before you go to a show. If that's what their idea of being a great champion is, then they clearly shouldn't be in these matches.
Side question. If D'Familia were a number one contender, who would you field?
Of the three?
Yeah.
I think it's very much like the New Day. You can't go wrong. It's like the Fabulous Freebirds. You can't go wrong.
It's funny. Do you call that the Freebird rule or the New Day rule? That'd probably tell you how old you are. Bad street, a letter G.
I call it the Jersey Triad rule.
Oh, wow. Wow.
The three I told you, I'm a WCW late period historian.
I did not think on an NXT UK show we'll get a Bam Bam Bigelow Chris Cannon DDP reference, but here we are. What's up, Feather Pan? Thanks for tuning in here. I thought it was kind of interesting. And also, talking about championships, it's like Saray, who tag team with Mako Satomura, is doing the thing you do in UK with the women's championship, just asking for title shots. She asked Mako for a title shot, but Mako Satomura, the final boss, didn't say anything. Yes, no, either way. One Nino Samuel show aside, Jack, what is going on at women's division?
This has become a very hotly contested division and a very, very, it's a very, I want to say shallow, wide roots, shallow roots division, meaning that there's not a lot of number two, three, or four contenders. It feels like okay. There's a lot of number one contenders right now. A lot of people who are, like, you could say they're next in line right now. And Saraya, I said it last week, I think she makes a good point. She helped Mako Satomura get the win. Now, you notice Mako wasn't exactly like, oh, yeah, makes sense. I should defend my title against you. Because Mako Satomura doesn't work that way. Mako Satomura keeps her friends close and her enemies closer. The two most dangerous people to her title right now are the two people that she keeps closest to her side. And so I don't think Saraya's going to get that title shot because I think Mako Satomura is going to play the political game and keep her far away.
Totally not the point of this line of questioning, but I don't like the fact that everyone in a match says both Saraya and Saraya at the same time. I need someone to figure out which one it is. I'm tired of writing both in my notes.
I always say Saraya, and I write it Saraya because it's easier to phonetically write Saraya than Saraya. Yeah.
But Nigel's like, oh, Saraya did this, but Saraya with a counter. You're like, Nigel, don't do this to me. Okay.
Are those the magic fingers? Hey,
the magic fingers. That is a reference. I love it. Well, yeah, you're right. The women's division seems to be all over the place. So let's talk about this women's match we had this week. Stevie Turner, which is a fan of Flobito. Can't say the fan of the show because the draped in gold official superstars Leah James, which had an appearance today, by the way, in the final segment. But Stevie Turner, someone I have a lot of that. I see the vision. I see the ceiling. Had a match against Amel, which was this time last year to the week, the most hotly talked about talent in that division in a match which seemingly has number one contender or number two contender implications with the Mel getting the win. That said, Blair Davenport was ringside saying, I'm not impressed. Jack Farmer, we have three women coming out of seemingly nowhere, each of them getting close to Mako Satomura, none of them getting to the promised land, looking like they're going to have a bit of a scrap.
You know, I don't like to use terms like carried. I don't like to talk about use terms like this one person carried someone else, but I think it's pretty obvious. I don't mean to ruffle feathers or be mean, but I think it's pretty obvious that Blair Davenport carried Andy Shepherd through this match on commentary. She was just so good at this.
You gotta stop. There's a bit, Jack, and no, you can't. You can't do that. Nope.
She was able to just carry him through this. And I think that he hopefully learned a lot from her being on commentary. The story here, I do got to say, Stevie Turner, I think every time I see her, I think she is built for NXT 2.0. She just looks like an NXT 2.0 wrestler. I think that she would plug right in there and be just such an asset to them. That said, the story of this whole thing is Amel. And to your point, a year ago, there was a video package that set the world on fire and we were all ready for her to take that next step. And for whatever reason it was, she hasn't really made it to that next step. And I'm hoping that with a win here. Two people who desperately needed it. Amel was the one that came out on top. Amel got the win. And I think that as a fan of Amel, I'm hoping that she's able to take advantage of this and continue that on into the next few matches.
Friend of the show, Mike Waxler, shalom, homie, says NXT UK's women division better than NXT 2.0's women division? Question mark.
It's a tough call because they're very different. You know, it's definitely apples and oranges.
It's like a grapefruit to a tangelo. Like, they're both different oranges, but they're close enough.
Well, I think that if you're looking at both rosters, NXT 2.0 has the deeper roster. It's got more people on it. If I'm just thinking off the top of my head, because you've got three people in Toxic Attraction alone. You got Cora Jade, you got Roxanne Perez, and that's just the main event of this past week. That's five that are great right off the top. You also got Fallon Henley, you got Nikita Lyons, you got Lash Legend, you got a lot of people that you got Ivy Nile. You've got a lot of people in that. You got Indy Hartwell. You got Tiffany Stratton. I think they've just got a much deeper roster. So I would go 2.0, but I think it has a lot to do with the fact that they've got 2 hours of time as opposed to one.
I'm with you there. I was going to drag you for giving a cop-out answer, but it comes down to there's just more people to enjoy in the 2.0 space. And I watched Level Up, which I know almost nobody does. Mm-hmm. But and the reason why I watched Level Up, because when I was a kid, that was like the thing to watch, like those Saturday night shows no one cares about, like Jacked, Metal, Velocity. So I watched Level Up, and even people you don't see every week, like Ulyssa Leon or Erica Yan, I'm a fan of. But I think NXT UK in North America, or in North American TV, I guess, has the best presentation, with maybe the exception of Stardom. Of just, if I was a female competitor and I wanted to be seen as a star, I would like to do it at the NXT UK just because it gives you the time and respect. Everything's treated as a true equal division, but the characters are on 2.0. Mike. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But back to the match, though. With Blair Davenport in that mix, and now you have Saray challenging, or I think almost challenging for that title. I mean, it seemed that they pretty much set NXT UK's division, that it's going to have that winner of Saray and Mikal Satomura gets one of these three ladies, correct?
Well, that's the thing, and that's why I say there's a lot of different opportunities here, because I think as you see Nina Samuels and Mackenzie talking to each other, you think maybe one of those two might come out as a potential challenger for the title if they have a little bit of a brawl, because I think Mackenzie, she's been knocking on that door for a very, very, very long time. And Nina Samuels, we always talk about star power that gets the casual fan. I think Nina Samuels is your pick there. And of course, Blair Davenport, she's born in the front of the line. She should be in that spot. Now that I think about it, we also got Zaya Brookside. I mean, they've got a ton of people on NXT UK too.
You know what? Nina Samuels retweets you one time and says, Jack Farmer's better than Flo Beto, and you're just a fan for life. Whatever.
My Twitter engagement went through the roof after that.
Anyway, speaking of our women's division, Fallon Henley is enjoying life just being a good old American in London, where Isla Dawn's not really feeling that at all. The match is already official next week. Isla Dawn against Fallon Henley. But the question I have for you, Jack, is what you were saying a couple weeks ago, and that when U.S. talent goes across the pond, they seem to have favorable odds at NXT mm-hmm. UK. Can Isla Dawn stop Fallon Henley, you think?
Isla Dawn has the power of witchcraft at her side, but witchcraft is nothing, witchcraft? Nothing compared to the power of freedom that comes from America. So I think that
we're just born with it, Jack. Is that what? Yeah. Okay.
When you're in danger, Flobo, all you do is you reach your hand out and you go, freedom. Oh, you shoot them with the power of freedom out of your hand.
In July, of course, yeah.
Yes, so
keep freedom.
I mean, look, I hate to say it because I'm a friend of the show for NXT UK, but so far NXT 2.0, their guys and girls coming over have just been kind of trouncing the folks over at NXT UK. So I got to assume that Fallon Henley's probably going to get one up.
Dang. All right. Get up to Fallon Henley. A couple of quick notes around the horn. Josh Morrell gets the hero's welcome from Dave Massive. It looked like he was giving him praise and then shut him down in the same sentence and says, you have a match against the Bomber. How about that? Sid Scully, what are you doing?
Jeez, I know, Massive. Let Josh, like, enjoy the moment for a second. Jeez Louise, let him at least go to sleep that night feeling like a winner before you come over and tell him he's got to get in the ring with the Bomber. I think this is going to be fun. The thing about NXT UK is you don't get to rest on your laurels very long. You're going to get tested every single time you're out there. And the better you do, the tougher the test. It's like a scaling video game where the better you get, the better the game gets. And Josh Morrell, he got the win, sure, but that means that level's going up. Can he hang with the Bomber? I don't know. I hope he does. I find myself organically rooting for Josh Morrell. I want to see how well he does. But Dave Mastiff, I mean, he is one of the toughest guys you're going to come across. So good luck, fella.
I wouldn't know. I always play games on easy. I always win.
Yeah, I usually do that too.
Yeah, why not? Like, I always go over, brother. Elsewhere, Trent Seven is trying to say what's up to Sam Gravel backstage, but somehow gets pulled apart by security. What's going on with this over here? The Thunderstorm is out there chilling and has to fight Trent Seven off.
Sometimes we talk about long-term storytelling in pro wrestling, and when we say that, what we talk about is just things that happen that sort of build upon themselves and these rivalries that naturally and organically grow. And this is a very underrated natural and organic rivalry. These guys have not been fans of each other for a very long time, and I love seeing the fact that they never let it go, that they don't just say, hey, we had a match, I guess we're friends now. That happens with a lot of wrestlers. You know, they have a match, they get it out of their system, they're done. These guys have had matches, they've talked trash, they've gotten each other's face. What I love about both these guys is they're both the kind of guys that say, no, I still hate you, and if I get the chance, I'm going to punch you again. And so this was Trent Seven getting his shot in. Does that mean we'll see Sam Gradwell get a shot in? Probably, because Sam Gradwell is not the kind of guy that's not going to take a shot. So I love this. Wrestling's all about conflict, and these two bring it in spades.
You're a fan of both these guys. Do you have anyone that has the edge going on? Are you rooting for anyone in particular in this one?
I think what makes the difference between these two right now is Trent Seven has just a vicious streak and is willing to do whatever it takes to get the win right now. And I think that's going to be the difference between the two. Sam Gradwell is as tough as they come. He's as mean as they come. He's incredible. And I think that he's definitely got a day in the sun on the horizon. But Trent Seven right now is just as vicious as can be, will do anything to win. And I think that little difference is what's going to set the tone here.
Talk about lame adjective. He's as tough as they come. He's as mean as they come, but he's going to take a giant L. Just say that then.
I didn't say he was fantastic.
Are you not fantastic? I can rescind that. I can say, Jack, welcome my co-host, the lamest MF on the planet, Jack Farmer, next week.
I just don't think fantastic is a good enough word for me.
What word would you like there, Jack?
I don't know, something that you got to look up.
The magnanimous Jack Farmer, live here at Draped in Gold. Final match is actually the first match of the card. Oliver Carter, my boy, against Tailmon, which was an odd choice for me because usually someone else from D-Familia fights someone first when they try to recruit them. But Oliver Carter dispatches Tailmon in emphatic fashion. Jack Farmer, let me ask you this. You tell me how dominant D-Familia is, but the head of this particular table, not the table, but a table, gets this defeated by Oliver Carter. What say you?
I saw from Oliver Carter something really special today. And, you know, I definitely have my favorites, but I saw something very special from Oliver Carter today. He had a smoothness that reminded me of AJ Styles. And, you know, I know a lot of people may say that's high praise, but when you look at just how he moved in the ring, he definitely had that phenomenal finesse to him. And as I was watching this, this was probably, in my opinion, Oliver Carter's most impressive showing to date. And he's had a string of good performances. This one, I think, was probably the best match he's ever wrestled that I've ever seen. And I think it's obvious it happens because Tioman brings out the very best in his opponents. I think Tioman really did a lot to help make Oliver Carter dig down and really bring a fight he's never had to bring before, really proving that Tioman was right the entire time. He should join D-Familia because he would always be better. He would always be at this level. Flobo, tell me I'm wrong. Was this not the best Oliver Carter match you've ever seen?
One of the best single matches, sure. Let me ask a question to the salubrious Jack Farmer. If you are D-Familia and you try to recruit someone, they say no. You have a match with them and they beat you. Shouldn't you, in fact, move on?
No, you would recruit harder. He just proved how good he is. This was, and look, yeah, we'll say singles matches because tag team matches are a different animal and there was no title on the line, wow. So it's a little different. But this was his greatest match. I think it has to be because Tioman and D-Familia was there. And I think that he just proved that you know what, maybe he does deserve to be a part of this team. Maybe he earned a spot here today.
One last question for the Mercurial Jack Farmer before we move on to 2.0. Any final notes?
You're going to break thesaurus.com.
I had those stuff. Final thoughts about NXT UK this week?
This was a very fun show, and I think that this had a lot of really impressive matches. I think it opened and closed. You look at putting like shows that like really kind of they bookend with the best match. I think that this show absolutely did that. I think that both those matches were really, really good. Again, I think that some lawyers should get involved, and I hate when you can't just let things get settled in the ring and you got to, get lawyers involved because people were rigging the outcomes. But still entertaining. It was still great. It was still a good show. And I can't wait to see what happens next. I will say it was interesting that Wolfgang seemed so happy, but then they said, hey, you might get a title shot, and suddenly got so angry.
I mean, you gotta get angry. I mean, Ilya Dragunov makes you bring it, right?
I mean, he was just like kicking a soccer ball around, having a good time, and they were like, "Hey, you might get a title shot," and he's like, "I'm gonna show you who I am." I was like, "Whoa!"
I mean, you can relate to that. Having a good time playing with on Sunday, and goes, "You have work tomorrow?" Like, oh, I mean, this sucks.
Though it does show the difference between Wolfgang, the kind of guy that can get a title shot, and Josh Morrell, who's still trying to enjoy the fact that he got a win. You know, maybe Josh Morrell needs to have that same attitude, like, hey, I got to win. I'm going to kill you. Maybe that's the difference.
Hey, and Chris, we were here on the ground floor since day one. In 2.0 land, our most social moment wasn't even the match. Week number two of the mysterious QR code of NXT. Did you check it out this week, Jack?
And so, funny enough, it was a Wordle.
It was a Wordle because the pulse of what's with the kids is what NXT 2.0 is all about. And I have it here. I'm going to try to put myself on the big screen because I didn't really plan this enough to actually put it on the thing. It's Quinn, Becky, Cruz, Trick, Brock, with Toxic, with the C in Toxic being in the right space, which leads most of the internet to think Havoc might be the answer. But Jack Farmer, let me ask you, what do you think this whole QR code thing's about?
Well, it's fun because me being an older person, I actually just started playing Wordle recently. So
A year later,
I finally got on there. Again, I'm an old man. It takes me a while to catch on to these things. But
fair enough.
So I was like, oh, I get this. And I was playing it. And Havoc does seem to be the word that makes the most sense. The unfortunate thing about that is that gives us zero clues as to what any of this means. Right. It doesn't really help us in any way. So, if I'm the person behind this and I'm the person trying to release these clues, I have to be asking myself, what is my goal in these clues? Do I want people to find out? Because if I do, I think I need to be a little bit more clear about what I'm talking about. If I don't want people to find out, well, then what are we doing in the first place?
So there is a theory rolling around on social media that it's the return of Zoe Stark. But let's get that aside for a second, because I think about the other things that NXT 2.0 has done, whether it was the search for the shaman or the battery recharging, for example. Some of them, or even Diamond Mind appearing. Something were engaging, some weren't. What do you think this QR code adventure has to do to get you on board 100%?
For this for me to look back at this and be successful, I think people love clues, but it's a tricky world we live in with the internet, because if it's just us individually, it can be more fun because we're trying to figure out these codes. But with the power of the internet and a million people looking at things, it's easier to figure things out, because if one person can get a clue, they can all work together and put things together. For instance, Havoc, I didn't come up with Havoc. I saw it online, probably like you did. And the Zoe Stark idea, I didn't come up with that. That's something I'm hearing from you. It makes these things harder, but at the same time, you have to find a way for it to actually be something we can get. So for instance, if this is Zoe Stark, this as an example, and she's changing her name to Havoc, well, that's not a fun clue, because I would never know that. It doesn't mean anything. And so now it's kind of a wasted thing, but you have to find something that we can actually figure out, but at the same time, not something like the Edge promos, where we're all going to figure it out in 10 minutes, and then it's just going to be, okay, let's hurry up and get to the get to the reveal. You know, so it's a really weird line to walk, I think. It can be fun, but it also is a very tough razor's edge to walk across.
Did the Tegan Nox thing work for you, the battery charging thing, or is that like too generic for you? One from last year.
That worked for me because it was more of a countdown than it was a clue, you know?
Fair enough.
because we were just waiting until the battery was full as opposed to trying to figure something out, which was really just meaning every time we stopped, like, okay, we're a little bit closer, it's almost time or whatever, as opposed to a interactive thing.
Sure. Let's talk about our main event. NXT Women's Championship was on the line. You would think so, but the odds were stacked. Roxanne Perez, who I still don't understand, can cash in her breakout contract to win the tag team titles, but then cash in the breakout contract to get a one-on-one match, but whatever, logic, had a match against Toxic Attraction's Mandy Rose, and even though Cora Jade was there for ringside for support, it wasn't support at all. She Jack Farmered Roxanne Perez by attacking her, and now we have a retention, of course, of Mandy Rose, and now Roxanne Perez is down one frenzy. Let me ask you this, Jack Farmer. Why, Cora, why?
There is so much about this that that I want to touch on, but I think I got to say the first thing that I need to talk about is I told you so. I told you that these two aren't going to get along. I told you that this wasn't going to work out. I told you that this was a bad idea. And it's funny that we always talk about just how bad Toxic Attraction is, yet they are still friends till the end, supporting each other, there for each other. But the people we always say are the good guys are the ones stabbing each other in the back and stabbing each other in the front and hitting each other with skateboards. Flobo, this entire episode was nothing but a giant microscope onto what is wrong with all the people that the fans think are the good guys.
I'm here live with the quintessential host, Jack Farmer. But let me ask you this, though. Roxanne Perez, for a long time, was seen as the next breakout star, pun intended, away from the tournament. Cora Jade was kind of in that spot 6 months prior, so maybe it was jealousy willing to happen. Maybe people were saying, hey, look, this alliance was doomed from the start.
It was doomed from the start. Again, I want you to look at Toxic Attraction for a second. I want you to look at this group of friends. And you notice they're always in the nicest clothes. You notice they've always got the nicest rides. They're always got everything put together. They're always sitting in situations where all of them are in a situation of success. They all always have titles. They've all always got the highest fashion. They're all always flexing the coolest looks and the best stuff. Yet you look at other people. You look at Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez. These two, they're so viciously against each other. They're so working against each other that Cora Jade can't even afford a good skateboard. Cora Jade can't even afford something as simple as a skateboard that isn't going to just break because she has Roxanne Perez always taking from her, always taking opportunities, always taking things so that they're not in the winning the big money matches, not winning the big money moments. Toxic Attraction, the group that everyone seems to frown on, they're looking out for each other. They all got titles. They've all got all the cool stuff because they make sure no one is left behind. But on the other side, you got Cora Jade and you got Roxanne Perez that are always fighting to try to be the number one, always fighting to try to bury the other one. And that's why neither of them seem to ever get ahead. Toxic Attraction, the kind of friends you should be looking for. Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez, the kind of people that you should be avoiding.
To be fair, you can't expect the skateboard to be durable if you run it 10 feet a week. Jack, what's the same with the NXT tag team?
Miles off of it.
Right, exactly. I do it for more of the look. It's like a swimsuit you can't get wet. What's it mean for the tag team championships now? Now that Roxanne and Cora are, you know, on different sides of that mat.
Well, Cora Jade has proven time and time again that she's as tough as they come. And so as long as Roxanne Perez stays out of Cora Jade's way, I think that those tag team titles will be fine right where they are. Though I hope Roxanne Perez does the right thing and relinquishes her title so that Cora Jade can give it to someone who's a little bit more deserving. Maybe Zoe Stark, maybe Miss Havoc herself.
That's not how that works. You can't do that. You can't relinquish one half the titles. That's not how that works.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's how Judy Bagwell became a tag team champion.
Okay.
How many late WCW references are we going to get in here?
We showed a poll one match. Okay, go ahead. You were saying.
So I do got to say, though, during this whole thing, and by the way, you'll notice just how vicious and cruel everyone is to the very best friends in pro wrestling, Toxic Attraction, the kindest, most loyal friends in all of pro wrestling, Toxic Attraction, because we start with Mackenzie Mitchell saying, hey, did you attack Roxanne Perez? And then she's like, you know, they're going up to like Nikita Lyon. Did you attack? She's blaming everybody except for the one person they're supposed to blame. And even that group says, look, whenever you listen to these true crime podcasts, who is it? It's always the person closest to them. It's always the victim is always attacked by the person closest to them. We know, we all know, but we still just can't believe that once that maybe Toxic Attraction are the good guys. And of course, the person right in front of us this whole time, Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez, they're the selfish ones.
You know, I don't usually ask for clout on this show. If a talent watches our program, that's great, but I don't do it for them. But I can imagine if I was Roxanne Perez and I got, you know, destroyed by my best friend to have Jack Palmer defend the other people, everyone but you, I hope she comes to your house and puts you in a headlock. I really do. I really do.
I just think that Roxanne Perez spent so much time looking out for number one instead of looking out for her friends the way that Toxic Attraction does. I think that's why this happened. When you always look out for number one, don't be surprised when everyone else looks out for number one.
Damn. CryptoGold.com, Flippa Boys being joined by the persnickety Jack Farmer. Let's move on to other women's division. That's true. Last Legend had a match against Indy Hartwell, and the match itself was interesting only because I want to ask you this question. Last Legends, we all know she's doing well, she's improved. Indy Hartwell, though, seems to be a ship without a rudder. Even with Alba Fire in the background, feuding with Last Legend, Indy Hartwell just seems to have, I hate to use the pun that you use, lost her way. What does Indy have to do to get back on the roster, back to where she was a year ago?
You know, I don't actually fault her for this week. I fault Alba Fire for this week. Clearly, Alba Fire got involved in this match and distracted both of them. And that's why Indy Hartwell, in a position to do some offense, wasn't able to get it done. And I think that distraction is what caused her to not be able to hit that move. And that was distractions what caused Last Legend to get the win here. So I get what you're saying. I actually don't think this was Indy Hartwell's fault. I think this was Alba Fire's fault. And I think that Indy Hartwell should take action against Alba Fire.
Well, here's my question. You look around the ring, and look, we're adults here. We know that Alba Fire used to be called Kaylee Ray. We know Last Legend is a former All-American. It's true. It's true. Former really? All-American. Yeah, or All-McDonald's High School. I forgot which one she was. But Indy Hartwell seems to be, you know, chilling out on a 1.0 kind of vibe. Is Indy do a reinvigoration, a new look, a new outlook, a new character, if you will?
I'd like to see her on Monday Night Raw. I think she'd be great up there. I think that she's kind of ready. She's been around for 2.0 for a while. So if that's what you're getting to, I think I would love to see that as well. I think that a lot of people on 2.0 are they've kind of moved on. And I think it's time for Indy Hartwell too as well, up to network television. Well, I guess she's already on network television. Up to USA or Fox or Raw or Raw or SmackDown. I was trying to find a way to not just keep saying Raw and SmackDown, and I just ended up messing it up.
Okay, I'm with you. Maybe that'd be the case. I'm just kind of curious to hear your thoughts there, because you are the man with all the visions.
Just as a side thing, I don't like that Alba Fire's getting involved in everyone's matches, but she's got a sick entrance. And the way she got involved with everything lighting on fire, that was, you got to admit, she's got a cool setup.
You know, my favorite segment of the night is Last Legend's promo when she had the basketball. Because I was like, finally, at least I know who she is. Because I didn't know what she was doing for a while. And the ball just kind of rolls, and then the bat stops it. You're like, oh, sports reference. To me, yeah. It was like straight out of a comic book. I loved it. I actually loved it.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I pop that Northland suplex, and I pop all the time. elsewhere, women's division action. Caden Carter versus Tatum Paxley. With Tatum Paxley getting the win. Look, man, is Tatum Paxley going to get inducted in the Diamond Mine or not? I need to know.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Diamond Mine. I don't know what's going on forever. With Diamond Mine. And I don't know where Ivy Nile sits with them, but it does seem that the more that Tatum Paxley hangs out with Ivy Nile, the better she gets. So I've known for a while that Ivy Nile is going to do very big things, and it seems like she's able to sort of make a little Diamond Mine franchise of her own.
like the Wu-Tang Clan. Like, oh, I'm not the Wu-Tang, I'm Wu-affiliated. And it was like 400 guys who are Wu-affiliated. You're like, wait a minute. No one cares about North Star.
I'm Wu-affiliated.
Of course you are. I can totally see that. Wu-Tang Financial. Wu-Tang Financial. That's a deep reference. 10 points to get that reference. Speaking of Diamond Mine, though, two things I really liked about the backstage promo this week. One, I realized that the Creed did not hate Damon Kemp. I wasn't sure what that relationship was. When Roddy brought them in, it looked like Damon Kemp was looking for some tape review with the Creeds. I thought it was pretty cool. Not sure if Jack Farmer loves it, because Jack Farmer usually hates things that I like. But also, Roderick Strong is not feeling it, though. Roderick Strong is trying to rule the Diamond Mine with an iron fist, but no one's really feeling it, Jack.
So, yeah, I think that what happened here is Damon Kemp, by the way, I think is smart, trying to learn and trying to grow and trying to learn from the Creed brothers. Who better to learn from than the person that beats you? You know, that is a phenomenal way to continue growing. I think a very hard-earned lesson that someone like Damon Kemp probably got from learning from Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong brings out the best in his team here. And the fact that, of course, Damon Kemp, he's like, let's run it back. The reason Roderick Strong was so angry is because no one likes it when we run it back. Everyone complains when we hear, let's run it back. We always make fun of it on Twitter. Roderick Strong sees that. He knows that. Don't run it back. We've seen it already. Let's move on. But now Kemp is going to have a match with Roderick Strong, and Roderick Strong is going to bring out the best in Damon Kemp the same way he brought out the best in the Creed brothers. Roderick Strong never stopping in his unending pursuit to make his team better. We really need to start honoring this guy and just his undying commitment to helping improve the people under his wings.
Pop quiz. If you were a wrestler, who would you want to have in your corner? Roderick Strong or Eddie Dennis?
I would go with Eddie Dennis, because you got to go with the brains. Strategy always wins.
And Roderick Strong doesn't have that?
Roderick Strong is so gifted physically and such a talent as far as his ability in the ring goes that I don't know if I'd be able to keep up with him. Where Eddie Dennis, he's got a lot of those attributes also, but he's mostly brains and he's mostly strategy. So you gotta take that, because that's something, even if I'm not as tough as they are, I can still use.
Draped in gold, football boys, the cosmopolitan Jack Farmer. Top of the card today was Giovanni Vinci against Apollo Crews. And I thought for sure Apollo would have rolled over the fashionista, but it was awful. Not Zion Quinn, who wears Hurley. Okay, whatever, dude. Got involved, causing the victory with Giovanni Vinci getting the win. Now, what do you make of this? Zion Quinn, Apollo Crews, and as it is right now, Giovanni's undefeated.
So, was this a big win for Vinci, or was this a big loss for Cruz?
Well, as someone who's a big fan of Apollo's career, I would say it was a big loss for Apollo Cruz, because his booby prize now is to work with Zion Quinn, which, to be honest with you, no one has been able to bring anything of noteworthiness from Zion Quinn. Talent aside, look aside. I always say Zion Quinn looks like he should be on top of the world. But it's usually when you have a feud, when you have a match with Zion Quinn, you are buried in that second hour. So, but at the same time, a win's a win. You can get up the ranks if you don't lose. So why not?
Well, then let me ask you this. If you're Vinci, are you okay getting help from a guy wearing Hurley?
Ugh. I'm not.
If you're a fashion icon, if you're all about that life,
they were good trunks, by the way.
Look really are nice. You okay? Are you okay getting help by someone wearing Hurley? I mean that. I wouldn't want that.
What's next, Abercrombie?
I think I'd rather get beat up.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm here to help you. No, I'm good.
Hurley. What is going on, Jack?
Now, if Cruz is able to see the future, how come he didn't know this was going to happen?
Is he? I think it's all in his head, man. I think he just like is visioning success, and it's not working out for him, it seems.
So, to all of our listeners and all of our viewers, do me a favor, and if you were with Flobo when he just realized that Cruz couldn't actually see the future. Hit the like button. Let us know where what you were doing.
Hey, I mean, like the show, but don't like it now.
It was all in Cruz's head, and he wasn't actually seeing the future. Hit the like button.
It's lame, but I'd rather that than a Nigerian king or whatever the heck that was.
Okay, what if it was seeing the future or wearing Hurley's?
Oh, yeah, I would see the future. Me and Kushida would be like this. I was like, you have to go back to 1999 when Pac Sun wasn't available? Hurley? Are you kidding me? What? You're going out of your way to be a square. I swear to God.
When we started the show, I had no idea we were going to take so many shots at Hurley.
I was like, what is he doing? No one stopped him? Okay.
All right. Anyways, I'm going to go get my Aero Pastel.
Aero Pastel. But yes, sorry.
Vinci, how old are we?
I have no idea. We're old as hell. That said, Giovanni rolls on undefeated still. What do you think will be the one to actually have a long-term disagreement with Giovanni, you think?
I think it's a big assumption to think that Apollo Crews is done. I don't know if Apollo Crews is going to let this lay. I think Apollo Crews might come back and try to get a even up the score.
All right, Mon, call him Apollos. That's been his whole career on WWE. But speaking of puns, today's pun, if those who care, taller people sleep longer in bed. And this is why I hate this calendar. Shout out to Evan Mack. That's Mac Mania. Stop! Don't curse that. Let's talk about one of the best character moments on this week. Cameron Grimes coming out, sad boy Cameron, talking about his recent misfortunes, where JD McDonagh, the former or the once known Jordan Devlin, makes his appearance. And even though on this show, Draped in Gold, over the 98 episodes, I sung the praises of how good Jordan Devlin was, I can say this is actually one of the strongest Cameron Grimes promos I've seen in a long time. Took charge on the ring, on the microphone, and really saw a discrepancy of talent and vision. Jack Farmer, what do you make of this?
I'm a huge JD fan. Anyone that has followed this show knows that I have been behind the Irish Ace 100% for a very long time. But you're right. I left this thinking that Cameron Grimes has been pushing himself towards new levels every time he's been on the microphone. I think this is probably 3 weeks in a row that he has possibly had a promo of the week on NXT 2.0, maybe even across WWE without really putting thought into it. This was incredible. And I think the fact that he made a mistake in the beginning of this promo, and it actually made it better at the end of the day. He didn't, the fact that I think a lot of people would have kind of messed up and tried to bury it, but he owned up to that and he made it better. And then he continued to elevate what he was saying. And by the end, I was thinking this guy is going to take over the world if he wants to. This was a really, really good. I feel like this is put this promo on tape and show it to people who are learning to be pro wrestlers.
I did also like the North American title mess up, if you will, not to quote Randy Orton, but with the rise of Cameron Grimes on the microphone, did JD McDonagh burn in the light? Did he come out the wrong time? Did it make him look weak or worse for wear because of it?
No, I think because there's the perception to me is that JD brought it out of him. And so I think that in a way, this was one of those classic perfect dance partner situations where was JD the star? No, but without him there, I don't know if we get this promo to be as good as it was.
Moving on, just in the interest of time, can you believe we're almost at an hour on this show? Thanks for rocking with us. DrapedInGold.com, Hobo Boys, the exquisite Jack Farmer. Sanga had a match against Duke Hudson, and Duke is your boy. He's been your boy for a long time, but what's going
pretty
on with your boy?
Together, yeah.
What's going on with your boy?
He picked a fight with Sanga. That's what's going on with my boy.
He's collecting L's, man.
I mean, to be fair, he picked a fight with Sanga. I want to defend my boy, but come on, man. What are you doing picking fights with that guy? That guy is a monster. Best choke slam in the game, I think. Sanga, I know a lot of people are going to talk about some of the bigger names who've done them, but I feel like every choke slam he does is incredible. He does. He has just a phenomenal choke slam, doesn't he? Like,
I'm just up there. Yeah.
I still think that Wes Lee one, I think it was like probably one of the best choke slams I've ever seen. It was just something special outside of the ones where they go through the ring and or off cages and whatnot. But that he is definitely a specimen as far as just what he's able to do in the ring. But Duke Hudson, I don't think he's being maximized. I think if you really want to maximize someone with the look of Duke Hudson, you need to put him with the maximum male models. I'm not the first one to say that. I've got a pair of eyes, and everyone else has a pair of eyes been saying that. That guy should be on Friday nights with Matt Dupree.
Because they're going to call him, what, Duque? And that sounds like poop. Please don't put him with them.
No.
That's terrible.
You would give him a new name.
No, you wouldn't.
You because look, everyone that goes from 2.0 to SmackDown, they get a little a name adjustment. It's kind of going to a chiropractor for your name, a little name adjustment, and you got to give them an M name so that it can be like I don't know. I can't think of something. I'm not a maximum male model, but you give him something so that he has that je ne sais quoi.
Maj Sanzi says, shout out to Sanga. Good to see more Indian talent pick up wins on TV. So this is actually a question I had in case we were going long on time or going short on time, but now we have the opposite situation. But I want to ask you, with the Superstar Showcase about a year and a half ago, when WWE went to India and had a, mm-hmm. well, they didn't go to India, in the Thunderdome. It got broadcasted to India. Mm-hmm. They had a small stable between Jinder Mahal and Jeet Rana and Guru Raj. Does Sangha fit in that? Because he looks unapologetically Indian. He's like, yo, whatever. This is what I am. He's not being any kind of character or anything else. How beneficial is that for representation, do you think?
I think what's great about Sangha, what I'm enjoying about him, is you're right. He looks unapologetically Indian, as you put it. But he doesn't act in any specific way. You know what I mean? He's not – if you took the script of the things he says – you don't read it and say, oh, this is clearly an Indian guy. He's just a guy who happens to be Indian. And I think
I believe you, brother.
I think that's important, is that he's the person he is who he is, regardless of what his where he's from. But he is absolutely from where he is from. And similar to a Finn Balor, like Finn Balor doesn't come out and talk about going to pubs and drinking pints and being from, you know, Ireland. He's clearly Irish,
right?
But what he does isn't like, I am Irish, if that makes sense. Same with like
Sheamus does that, but not Finn Balor. You're right,
Sheamus. Yeah, Sheamus does do that.
Fella,
said fella, we're gonna go to the pub and have a few pints.
Like, wait, Donnybrook Lane? Are you kidding me?
As I hit you with my shillelagh,
right?
But you know, it's similar like Jordan Devil or JD McDonough. He's the Irish ace, but he's not out there, you know, talking about his leprechauns and things like that. So,
right.
I think that is a very important thing about Sangha that I really like about him. And I think it is one of the things that makes him stand out. And I hope we see more of just across the board. But it is good to see that representation. And now that there's enough people from that area on the roster, I don't think you need to have that beating you over the head with that kind of character.
True. Well, that's a lot of reason why I'm with that. I like Mansoor, and I don't like when he turned face, but when SmackDown re-signed Finlay as a heel, he was like, I love to fight. I was like, yeah! Give me more of that. Grandpa's got a stick. It's great. So, I'm totally about that life.
I mean, there's definitely like if you have someone that they're the only person from a certain area, I think it makes sense to lean into that because you don't have anyone else who can do that. But once you have enough people, I think that's when the representation's being great, because you have enough people, but you don't need to be as obvious about it anymore. And I think that's when you get really good, really good stuff.
Speaking of really good stuff, my man Solo Sikoa, the other Oos, the lost Oos, had a match against Von Wagner. It resulted in a disqualification. But I have a question. Mm-hmm. The draft is in October, and like last year, I believe NXT talent will be eligible. Does Solo Sikoa stay on NXT after the draft this year?
I think Solo could be anywhere. I know there's a lot of people who are saying, yes, he needs to go to SmackDown. Yes, he needs to join the Bloodline. I don't know if you necessarily need that for him. I mean, look, it's not going to be bad for anyone's career to be associated with the Bloodline. So if it happens, you know, good for him. But I actually think he's got a lot to accomplish still in NXT 2.0. I think he could still do a lot of things there. I don't think he's used that up. Monge in the chat says Solo to the ref at SummerSlam. I don't know. I feel like that'd be a little bit of a letdown, to be honest.
You would have to look and think about that, Monge. I like the idea, but you have to go into this realizing that a fraction of WWE's audience watch NXT. And so if they just showed up, you'd be like, well, who the hell is that guy?
Yeah, literally 25% of the SmackDown viewing audience is, it's like 500,000 watch NXT, 2 million watch SmackDown. So it wouldn't go over as well as I think the hardcore fans think that would. But I think he'll eventually be there. But I think he says a lot of miles he can get out of NXT. I feel like it's very much like the career mode in 2K22 when, like, yes, you have the option to go to the main roster, but you still have a lot of side quests you haven't finished yet. I think Solo has a lot of side quests he hasn't finished yet.
Fair enough. I'm with the side quest action. Where's Boa? Okay, that's not the question I have. We got to move on just for the interest of time.
Boa's still nursing up the beatdown he took.
I come to work, though.
I'm thinking he's going to show up with the schism.
So let's talk about that. Actually, I was going to do Carmelo first. Let's talk about the schism. We do. The Diana are now the schism, which implies it's going to be a stable, a bit more than a tag team. At least I think so. Do you think anyone will join that group, or is this pretty much not going to be it?
This is a group. I love the idea of this group, but it feels like there's the old saying, everything I'm not makes me everything I am. And I think that all the things that Joe Gacy isn't is what made him great. And all the things that this group isn't is what could make it great. But adding other stuff to it, I think makes it less, it makes it not, for me, it makes me less interested. So like I look at even the logo, it's the schism and it's written all like it's supposed to be a death metal band name, but then it's got a peace sign behind it. And yeah, it's like, it doesn't feel like it fits. The person that Joe Gacy is doesn't match with the group he's trying to create.
Agreed.
And it makes it feel like I don't truly understand what this is. I think this is the kind of, if his group, I think, would work better if you stripped away all that stuff and was just like, we're the after-school church group or whatever you want to call them. Maybe not church group, obviously, but like I don't think his group would have names and hoods and mystery to it, because his group should be welcoming and join us and all that kind of stuff. Not dark and creepy, and it doesn't feel congruent to me. It doesn't feel like the group matches the leader.
I'm with you. I really felt there was a nice uncharted territory with the person, the anti-villain. Someone who is really a good person, but is booed for what it is. But it's very easy to interpret that and draw parallels to church groups and denominations. So I can see where a company's like, okay, let's fill in the edges and make sure he's really evil and over the top, which is kind of sack. I think Joe Gacy did it very well. It's not his fault. It's just kind of like a more like an editorial mandate of the comic book reference. This week, it turns out that not only he likes math, Axiom likes comics. Okay. That looks like RA Kid's going to debut next week as Axiom. You excited or not?
I'm excited for him to debut because I think he's an incredible talent. And I think it's smart that he talks about his love of comic books, because we talk about a lot of wrestlers being like comic books brought to life. And so this is just tapping that. I also think that being someone out of a comic book is probably a little bit more accessible than someone who likes math. The thing that doesn't connect with me and the thing that I'm a little bummed out about is, A-Kid's a good-looking fellow. Why are you putting a mask on? And we know he's a good-looking fellow. Like, why put a mask on this guy? I don't know.
Because mask wrestlers don't usually talk. I think that's what it is. I think it's the accent, if you want me to guess.
I mean, that makes sense, but...
How dare you make sense on this show?
But I feel like he's the kind of guy that I think if you put him on a truck, it attracts people, as opposed to with the mask, you're just kind of like, oh, okay, he's a mask wrestler. But I guess, I mean, it worked for Rey Mysterio, did okay. So maybe they shouldn't.
He's all right.
He sold a little bit of merch over the years.
I got three or four questions more for you before we get out of here. Tiffany Stratton is ready for her women's championship match opportunity. Question: does Tiffany Stratton become NXT women's champion by year's end? Keep in mind, it's the middle of July.
No.
Dang. I bet you were a fan.
I am a fan. I just don't think I don't think the cards play out in that way for her. I think she has the talent to. I just don't think the opportunity comes up.
Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams are out there in the penthouse jacuzzi with incredibly attractive women. Jack Farmer, where's the address?
I can't tell you.
Oh, I see how it is. She's fine.
I signed an NDA.
Really? Chase Yu was in London. I thought for sure we'd have had our first crossover with NXT UK the same week. Wasn't to be. Well, do you want to see Chase Yu NXT UK? Will that be enamored by the NXT UK audience, you think?
I'd like to see it just to see how it goes over, because I'd love to hear how the crowd reacts to them.
And do you think that I think Thea Hill is the best place to be right now for a career with Chase Yu? Kind of makes it more like a college. What do you think?
I think it's great because she is very young. I think she fits that group very well. She's going to learn a lot. And I also think it gives her the chance to have to do different things that aren't just being a great wrestler. Because being a great wrestler, a lot of people start with that, or being like, I'm a young prodigy. And it's very hard to stand out that way. But by being a part of Chase U, that stress is stripped away and she can just be a student. And I think she can find a way to connect with all of us during that time.
Tony Angelo and Chana Saxon-Rizzo had a match against EJ's NFA, far from a rookie, and Malik Blade, with the family getting the win. Question for you, Jack Farmer, who does the family have to work on next?
Work on as far as to make sure they are not going to betray the family, or who they need to join the family,
who they need
to beat up.
Beat up. I mean, you can say you're the Don, but you're the Don of what exactly?
Right now, if I'm Tony D, I'm looking over at the Schism. The Schism is attracting people. The Schism is gathering strength. It's the kind of thing that could be a movement that could take over, and you want to make sure you get that nipped in the bud before it becomes a big issue.
I would call you a genius, but I'm out of big words. Draped in gold, baby, every Thursday alongside.
Intellectual.
yeah, exactly. The intellectual Jack Farmer. Here's the deal. Thanks so much for tuning in on the YouTube and audio podcast space. Hey, Jack, if I wanted to connect with you online, how'd I go about doing that?
You could catch me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media, but I'm going to ask everyone who's made it this far into the podcast to do us a huge favor. It has been a very long time since someone has left us a 5-star review and a nice little note on Apple Podcasts. So if you could go out of your way, whether or not you listen on Apple Podcasts, go to Apple Podcasts, hit 5 stars and leave a little comment. It'd be very appreciated. It's been a long time since we've gotten one, and it would just be nice to see. So Apple Podcasts 5-star review, do it.
You stole my bit. I was going to say, usually in this segment, we'll have the MVP of NXT, but I want to say all of you out there in internet land for checking out the show. Thank you so much for having us. Our biggest week yet on the audio version. We had downloads in Denmark, of course, down to Papua New Guinea. So thank you so much. You guys are the MVP of the NXT this week. You guys are fantabulous. Jack Farmer is going to be on assignment next week. You are turning the ripe old age of 27. Congratulations, sir, which is going to be great. I'm going to be in the booth here making sure we break down everything accurately for a change. Every Thursday.
Your spin is going to be outrageous.
Yes, it will be. You can't stop me, baby. Hello, boys. Hello, boys on Twitter, flopita.com, and of course, drapedandgold.com. The prudent Jack Farmer. Thank God I'm out of the end of the hour because I'm also out of words. Until next time, can you say the words we always say when we end the show?
Do your best and be yourself.